Right now, MIQ is a bigger risk to business than COVID-19, according to a leading entrepreneur who's detailed an alternative isolation plan in a bid to get businesses travelling again. The boss of animation research, Sir Ian Taylor, believes companies can be trusted to manage their own strict home isolation, freeing up spots in MIQ for other returning Kiwis. Sir Ian says companies have trimmed back, but some overseas travel is essential to keeping business ticking over. And he's been contacted by a list of businesses desperate for certainty around getting workers home. He's written a series of open letters to the government laying out a blow-by-blow pilot trip that he would be the guinea pig for. But so far, says he's had no real response from the government, and he didn't mince his words when I asked him to describe the current MIQ situation.
It's a disaster. I mean, it was ill-conceived from day one, and now it is just the biggest roadblock for businesses. In fact, for a lot of people, MIQ has become more dangerous than COVID itself. And the thing that really concerns me is that, we saw last week that waiting room concept was always flawed inside a flawed system. And they even made an animation. I remember when Minister Hipkins showed it at the 1 o'clock press briefing or whatever it was, they actually had an animation to show how the waiting room worked. They had these little yellow figures coming into the waiting room, and I thought, there's going to be a few more than that. But nobody has acknowledged that it simply highlighted how bad the system was.
How many staff have you got offshore at the moment with no means of getting them back?
Three. We've got three at the moment. We talk about being kind. Those three have been absolutely essential to everyone keeping their job here. They all volunteered. They've all been overseas since Christmas. And what we normally did, because it's a tough job, it's a tough road to hoe over there. So what we used to do, they'd probably work for 2 months or so. Then we'd send somebody up to give them a break for a fortnight, bring them back. But we can't do that now. So these people have been there since Christmas. One of them, who's in the UK, called us up about 2 weeks ago and said he'd gone to his first dinner in a restaurant since Christmas. It's really, really tough. And we aren't asking to take up MIQ beds. I'd hate to do that. There are people even worse off than that. What we are asking is for the government to listen to us, and we can show them a way to ease the load on MIQs and bring our people home safely with certainty. We just cannot plan.
Do you absolutely need to travel? Have you cut it down to the most essential travel necessary?
I think every business has. You know, nobody actually wants to travel now. And so if I use our example, we built this remote system which we used on the Ryder Cup. Anyone who watched the Ryder Cup would have seen that remote system operating. Normally we'd have between 10 and 12 people over there at Whistling Straits. This time we had one. We did all the rest from here. So we've reduced our overseas travel since March the 14th last year. We've reduced it by 80%. Which is enormous, but the 20% that we need to make is what keeps the 80% of our business running. And we're not the only ones. So, you know, I read an article today about, and people said, you know, we've got Zoom, we've got this. Zoom has helped us with all of this reduction in travel, and it has. It will change business travel forever, but it won't remove it. And at the moment, we actually can't do business because we just cannot afford to send somebody away and not know when they're coming back. I have a number of companies who sent me messages in the past week who have people have gone overseas, have had their meetings, and are now stuck and they don't know when they're coming home.
Let's talk about your idea for a trial, right? You'd be the guinea pig and the destination would be Australia, Sydney. So talk us through, what would you do in the week before you left?
Yeah, so, and it's quite a good one to choose because, you know, we're relatively COVID-free and it's running rampant in Sydney. So we take it to the extreme, but these are the kind of systems we'd have in place. 7 days before I got on the plane, I would go into level three. I'd work from home. I'd be tested every day. On day one, I'd have a PCR test, the normal one. And then I would also have this portable device that's had $80 million spent on it, and it's just up the road here in Dunedin, and they can't talk to anyone about it. They're giving me one of those so I could compare my PCR test, which takes 25 minutes. So I'd go through that process, have another PCR test 3 days before I flew to Auckland. I'd fly to Auckland, where the Auckland Airport said they'd meet me to make sure that I went through to the Air New Zealand area cleanly and safely. I'd take another test before I got on the plane, a PCR test, which takes 25 minutes. I'd get on the plane, fly to Sydney. In Sydney, I'd be met by a driver from a hotel chain that does MIQs. I'd be tested there, go to the hotel, tested. They've offered to put me in a floor away from everyone else, serve me only with people who are double vaccinated. I'm double vaccinated. And with scarves, so I'd get meals delivered to my door in the mornings and at night. And during the day, the same driver would take me down to Fox Studios, where I have to be tested, like all their staff, even to get in the front door. So that's where I'd have my meetings.
In the hotel in Sydney, would you be restricted to that hotel for a certain number of days, i.e. in isolation?
Yeah, that's what.
How many days?
Only now. It would be 2 weeks at the moment because they shut the border as well. Like if I was going to the States, there wouldn't be any. Once we're cleared, there wouldn't be any. But it's perfect. I would go there and I would spend 2 weeks in that hotel because that's the rules they've put in at their side.
Yep.
So I'd spend 2 weeks there and just do the yards. And then once that was over, I would pretend that I'd just flown in like normal business, and I'd take my trip, go to Fox, do my meetings there every day, being tested every day, PCR tested back in my hotel with my portable device, and then I'd fly back to New Zealand, come through the airport in Auckland, fly down to Dunedin, go into a self-isolation a premises that we have here, and be there by myself for as long as the government wanted me to, 2 weeks. But we would show the steps we would go through that said, 2 weeks is overkill. This guy, because what MIQ is meant to do is find people coming in that may have COVID. What we think we should be doing in the business world, we can help with this. A, we've got the technology, but the teams that travel are very small. They're between 1 and 5, so you could manage your own teams really easily, and then step it up to teams the size of the All Blacks, for example. They've got all their own medical staff. So if we gave them the latest testing kits while they're away, before they came back, they could test as well, which means we don't have 40 or 50 All Blacks taking up really valuable MIQ spaces for people who simply don't have these resources.
So your private isolation on return would be a house or an apartment or something similar with just you in it?
Yeah, and it's total overkill. But again, what we're wanting to do this live every day, so we bring some transparency to this. You know, apparently there's some paper being written. They talked about it in August that they were going to look at how they could do this self-isolation. Now there's a paper being delivered. They'll have a look at that, and if we're lucky, they'll start doing a test by December. What the bench has done is come up with this idea with some big people backing us, and we've done it in a week. And all we're saying to the government is, let's do this publicly so everybody can see what works, what doesn't work, and how the future could look like.
Ian, if you're to do this, you need them to sign off on it, right? What do you reckon your chances are?
I guess this will be the real test, because this isn't going to cost them any money at all. There are a number of significant organisations that have stepped up to help me. We will pay all our own costs. We've got all the safety protocols in place to be tested. So if they say no, then that really does raise the question of how serious are we about getting back to living with COVID. This is as safe as it goes. I'm double vaccinated, I'm tested every day, and there's only one of me. And then we see that system works. You know that you can use businesses, 1 to 5 people, doing the same system. Your business would have to be accredited, so you're held fully accountable. And I can hear people asking, how can we trust businesses? Well, actually, the businesses are the place you will trust the most, because it's absolutely essential to your accreditation that no one breaks the rules.